Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealers.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Dad's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted Bell, and this weekend is going to be a scrumptious, sumptuous weekend for our pork loin. Got to come into Ted's of Beverly Hills. Get a Ted and a pork loin.
We want to put our meat in your...
Ted Bell is with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. This portion of the Phil Hendry Show is sponsored by Ted's of Beverly Hills. I wanted to ask you on, Ted, because I know you were very familiar with the Tyco case, that of Dennis Kozlowski, a man who was charged with any number of escapades as a corporate executive having to do with... cooking books, etc.
The entire Enron thing, more or less.
Yeah, the Enron, that kind of thing. And this guy, Kozlowski, one of the interesting aspects of him, or one of the interesting aspects to his story, is that he was spending an inordinate amount of money on personal things, like a $2 million toga party.
Well, he had the money to spend. And the jury's not out on this, Phil, although the jury came in, there was a mistrial, I think.
Well, there's a mistrial because one of the jurors wanted to acquit him, and then apparently got a threatening letter from someone who doesn't want to acquit him, and so there's a whole mistrial. And the feeling is justice has not been done, that this is one of these fat cats that has slipped through the noose, if you will.
Let's slow down a little bit, Phil, because I happen to know some of the principles. I can tell you that the Tyco case is not unlike the Enron case, the WorldCom case. I don't know whether or not a law has been broken. I do know there's a mistrial, and I know there's a lot of stockholders involved, and I know there's an awful lot of this sort of, if you'll pardon me, there's a lot of chest beating and a lot of tears. Crocodile or otherwise that are being shed over this story, but I've often said that these stories, excuse me, Phil, these cases all come down to sort of this difference between the wealthy, the people that do the employing, the people that do the risk-taking, the people that do the business building, and the middle or lower classes. And I think that much of the misunderstanding comes from the fact that we don't know each other, but primarily... I hear a lot of criticism of the wealthy, but I know very few people who know what it's like to be wealthy. And
well, you but most people will tell you it's got to be easy to be wealthy.
Well, you know what? I hear all about the injustice that's done to the poor, done to the stockholders, done to the middle class. What about the injustice that is done oftentimes to, if you will, those of us who are... in the upper reaches of income, upper middle class to upper class.
Well, are you saying that Mr. Kozlowski has had an injustice done to him because he was even put on trial?
Well, no. Everybody's saying it's an injustice that this guy got to walk.
Well, it was, again, one of those cases like the Enron, like the WorldCom, that involved a lot of money.
Well, there are injustices that occur to the wealthy that we never hear about. Having a lot of employees... I see this every day because I have the money, they don't. Because I am the boss, they're not. And I see how I'm treated differently. And
well, give me an example of an injustice, if you will, or something that happens to wealthy or upper middle class people.
Well, I've got co-workers, I have workers, I should say, who will have a baby shower or they'll have a birthday party. They'll say, hey, Ted, will you come to my house? We're having a baby shower. Ted, would you and your wife, Marcy... they know Marcy. Marcy's been a part of my business for a great time. Do you want to come down to our house for this or that? And when you go to one of these homes, you're in a home that doesn't have a lot of room for entertaining. It's not a comfortable place. A lot of times they'll say, can we have it at my place? No, I'd like to have it. They want to have it down at their house. And these are the little things that...
I don't understand, because you have to go to somebody's smaller home?
No. Because I'm used to my... I got 8,000 square feet in Beverly Hills. You have a very beautiful home. We have a cabana. You have a pool house and places where we can entertain. I'd be happy to have baby showers at my house for my workers. But they make me go down to their house where there is... I asked one of the young ladies who was having a baby shower, I said, who is your caterer? And she said, well, we made the food ourselves. That, I think, is a health risk. I think when you're talking about individuals who are used to being at parties in more expansive areas, confining them to smaller backyards, I think when you're talking about individuals who are used to having parties catered at fully stubbed-in gas barbecues, and he's operating with a coal barbecue that could be unsafe, the injustice is there, and yet nobody wants to talk about that.
All right, I'm talking with Ted Bell about injustice and how the Tyco guy walked today from a mistrial, Dennis Kozlowski. You're saying that rich people have to suffer injustice, too.
Well, what we're hearing about is how this guy got screwed, that guy got screwed, you know, the stockholders got screwed, the little guy. Well, I got a beautiful BMW 760. You've seen it, right?
It's like a, what is that, a V12?
It's a V12, 440 horse. I got 48 valves in that. Now, I've talked on your show about it. Things that happen to a man who may have money. When I take the car to be serviced, they give me a loaner, and I sit still for it. I don't say anything. I get a C-Series Mercedes with vinyl seats. I sit still for that. I never say anything about it. I get invited to someone's house for a baby shower, and it's down in Alhambra, or it's in a place where it's too small. You know, so I don't say anything about it. I got invited to go to my niece's alumni party up in a very small college town. We stayed at a Best Western. There's no Four Seasons. I don't say anything about it. I keep my mouth shut. I sit still for it. And on we go. The point that I'm making, injustice is felt at all levels, and I get a little sick and tired of hearing about how the wealthy are always getting away with things. The lives we lead have their fair share of injustice and trials and tribulations, and for once I'd like to hear middle-class people and poor people just... I don't know the way, just maybe shut their mouths or something. I just don't talk about it as much.
All right, Ted Bell is with us. It's kind of a sociological question, I guess, and you're talking about injustice happening to the rich. Dennis Kozlowski is the head of Tyco. This whole Tyco scandal, as you know, the cooked books, the expenses charged off on the business for personal things. Stockholders were up in arms, and there were prosecutions. Well, there was a mistrial declared today. Doesn't that seem like a miscarriage of justice to you when there's a mistrial because a juror got threatened? Doesn't that sort of bespeak something away from the trial itself? Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell.
But you see, again, you're missing the point on the fact that injustice happens to the wealthy as well. And I've illustrated a couple of these. The wealthy remain very strong, and we're silent about injustices. It's the middle class who cry about it. And I will say again, Phil, everybody knows what it's like to be poor. Everyone knows what it's like to...
Were you poor?
I wasn't poor, but I was middle class. Everyone knows what it's like, poor, middle class, or whatever. But very, very few know what it's like to be wealthy. And let me tell you something. I can give an example. Marcy and I usually get access to some decent seats over at the Disney Music Hall. We usually get Robert Mondavi seats. And we usually have him, we went over to for the producers.
Robert Mondavi, the winemaker?
That's right. And usually we use his seats. We went over the other night, in fact, to see La Boheme, which is the last Berman production, and we were told, the guy said to me, you sit in the mezzanine. And I shut my mouth, and I sat down, I let an usher tell me what to do, and I sat there, and I sort of mused, because I knew I was coming on your program, I thought, look at this. But there's millions of Americans who don't care. They don't care about me. They don't care about John Stokely. You know John. He's the owner of one of the indoor soccer teams.
Yeah.
John is a very wealthy, but do you think anybody cares that this is a guy who's got to walk, park his car 3 blocks away in the dead of night to go down to a business meeting he's having because they got no valet parking or anything like that? Okay, do you think anyone cares about that? No. They hate him because he's rich. And of these stockholders, really.
Stockholders are really what? Are they little people? I mean, and by the way, the things you're talking about, you mentioned having to stay at a Best Western. You're mentioning having to have a C-Series Mercedes loaner with vinyl seats. This injustice that you are talking about compared to a guy ripping off stockholders, okay?
No, but you see, you don't get it because you're not wealthy. I'm saying you don't understand.
Doesn't that seem like there's no comparison there? If I'm a stockholder and I get ripped off by Dennis Kozlowski at Tyco, you're telling me that I'm suffering less than you having to have a C-Series Mercedes with vinyl seats?
Have you ever been rich?
No, sir, I have not.
All right, then you don't know what it is to be rich. And, you know, I really get a kick out of a lot of these poor guys. Oh, yeah, you don't know what it's like down here on the street. Let me tell you something. You don't know what it's like on my street. Okay?
Well, what is so different about being...
It's more difficult to be wealthy.
Why?
Well, let me ask you a question, Phil. You see all these guys who win the lottery, $60 million, $70 million, $80 million, you never hear from them again? You want to know why? Because it's easy to make money. It's tougher to know what to do with the money, okay? And I tell you what, you give $60 million to a guy like me or a guy like Dennis Kozlowski, he'll turn it into $300 million in a few months, right? Give $60 million to some guy that bought the ticket down at some delicatessen in Koreatown, and I'll tell you something right now, he'll run through that dough in a year and a half. You mark my words. So I'm tired of...
Okay, a guy like Kozlowski takes the company's money and has a $2 million toga party for his wife. Is that right?
What do you mean, is that right? Because the guy gets to have a party?
With the company's money?
I don't know what crimes were committed, but why do you indict a man simply because he knows how to have a good time? And most of, like, my employees invite me down to their house. Oh, would you like to have something to eat, Mr. Bell? I said, well, you know, I'll pass because I know what I'm going to get. We went the other night, I saw they had cold cuts out on a tile counter. See, so again, there's health issues. And I understand it's hard for a lot of people to grasp, but it's like for me, the day you make over 400 grand and come and talk to me, otherwise, you sort of look stupid talking about it.
You're not calling me stupid, are you?
I'm not calling you stupid. I think you look stupid complaining about it.
All right, look, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. If I'm hearing him correctly, he's saying, hey, you know what, Dennis Kozlowski, sure, everybody complains about the rich, but you guys don't know we get injustices too? Look, this guy Kozlowski at Tyco, I don't know whether the guy's guilty or innocent, because I got to assume that he's innocent till proven guilty. But we know from other cases, money's... You know, private stockholder money or a capital expense has been, you know, illicitly charged off when it was actually used for personal use. All this kind of crap. But Mr. Bell is saying there is injustice everywhere and the wealthy suffer injustice as well. I'm not a rich man, but it doesn't sound like a tough thing for me if a guy gave me a loaner car that was a C-Series Mercedes with vinyl seats. I don't feel like I'd be suffering. But then I'm not rich. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted owns a big steakhouse, a prominent businessman. We're talking about Dennis Kozlowski, who his trial was declared a mistrial because of some technicality.
Well, you call it a technicality, Phil, but it was a mistrial because, and I think it's a rare mistrial that is a...
Well, it was a technicality. A juror, you know, got threatened in a letter.
Well, you're assuming that Mr. Kozlowski is guilty, and what I'm trying to tell you right now is you and a lot of people in America are playing with fire because you're starting to... there's this indictment of the wealthy that's going on around in this country that I think has got to end. And I'll tell you right now, I am fighting mad. Just because I'm worth eight figures doesn't mean you get to just put me on trial for things. All right? We have to suffer as much as the little man, and I'm getting a little tired of hearing about the little man, about the little stockholder, about the, you know, something. You pay your money, you take your chances. That's what my father used to say. My wife Marcy comes home from, she was in tears the other day. She was at Sally Hershberger's, which is a very famous salon. She does Meg Ryan's hair and a few. And somebody had a heart attack in front of the driveway in a Toyota Camry, and she couldn't get into the salon, all right? I said to her, look, these things happen. You've got to live with the suffering. And a lot of people who are poor don't understand, you mess with the rich. You know.
Well, you're starting to sound like Big Brother here.
Why? Because I have money? Why do you get to make fun of me just because I have money? But I tell you something right now, Dennis Kozlowski walked today, and there may be some justice in that.
I doubt it, Ted. I doubt it sincerely. 1-800...
Well, how do you know? You don't know the particulars of the case.
1-800-449-8686. Mary, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Mary?
Oh, I'm here.
Yes,
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Well, I guess the first thing I want to say is I've never heard a more shallow person speak in my life than this gentleman I'm listening to. And
I love it. I love it. When you're wealthy, you're shallow. When you're wealthy, you're shallow. That's the number one insult.
And like, I just want to say that I'm not a wealthy person, and I'm not a poor person. I guess I could say I'm a middle-class person, especially if I drive a Toyota Camry.
I guessed it as soon as you called.
But I guess what I really want to say is this, that I think life is relative, and I think that if I was invited to a very poor person's house and they served me bread and water,
I would be
appreciative of what they were sharing with me and what they were giving me.
All right, Mary, you need to listen to... Put her on hold. Okay. We got to have a dialogue on this show. I don't want anybody giving speeches. Is she still there? Are you there,
still
Mary?
Here.
Okay. Please allow somebody to say something. All right?
Okay.
Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Merle, go ahead.
Yeah. Did you hang up on her?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Pretty much. I mean, I don't understand this whole gist about this trial and everything from what I'm hearing over the radio.
Let me tell you what it is, Merle. Okay. It's a wealthy man that they want to string up by his private parts because he's wealthy.
No, that's not the case at all. Kozlowski's accused of robbing his company.
Okay. And, I mean, is this guy rich or something?
Yeah.
Okay, and then there was this trial.
Well, no offense, but this gentleman here is an example of what I'm talking about. He really doesn't get the particulars of high finance.
Right.
And as a result, sir, you really don't understand the world that I'm talking about. And what I'm trying to say is those of us who have money, a lot of money,
right,
suffer as much as anybody else. I don't know if you saw the movie Wall Street.
In reality, you know, yes. Okay, everybody has ups and downs.
Exactly.
In this world.
And
regardless of how much money you got, you're going to have
downfalls. That's my point.
Right.
When you're used to staying in a Four Seasons, staying at a Best Western is bad. When you're used to it being a W760 or Mercedes is bad. That's all I say.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if you've grown adapted to something, okay.
Right, right. You're just telling me stuff I already know.
Right.
So, yeah.
But see,
I don't really have anything to learn from you.
Right. But I grew up in California.
Is he still on the air?
Yes, he's on the air.
Yeah.
But I don't have anything to learn from him.
Yeah, but
the man's giving his opinion.
Listen.
Go ahead.
Listen. I grew up in a ghetto in California.
Here we go. Here we go. Up from my
now I have stuff. Climbed. I've climbed from that point up to a middle class level of my life. Okay, I own land, I own my home and everything else. I don't have an 8,000 square foot home. I have a 2,400 square foot home. Okay, when I bring somebody over, I'm proud of what I have because I earned what I have.
Yeah, but if you invited me to your home, as much as I might think you're a great guy, it would be a little insulting for me.
Why?
Well, why do I want to go to your house when I could be at mine?
Well, the same reason why I would go to your house instead of being at mine. Maybe I'd
you would want to be at my house
because it's so large.
No, you'd want to be at my house because I've got a pool table. I've got a lot of things to do. Why do I want to go to your house and sit there?
Okay, let me explain to you why. Okay, my father's brother was the governor of the state of Georgia.
You still have a 2,800 square foot house.
Very wealthy man, though.
That's great, Merle.
You see what I'm saying?
You know what? I can't eat the food that you people.
What do you mean, you people? What do you mean, you people?
Well, he's gonna.
You
bring,
people, I.
You're gonna bring me to your house. I'm gonna be eating.
I eat filet mignon. I've sit down to caviar. I've sit down to all kinds of stuff. Same thing that you eat. What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do you mean a 2,800 square foot house and you eat filet? I don't understand.
All right,
you don't understand.
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. The wealthy suffer just as much as the rich. The wealthy suffer just as much as the poor, according to my guest here, Ted Bell. So why is everybody dumping on Tennis Kozlowski and Tyco? That poor guy has had it tough. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio speed trap.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, I'm on with Ted Bell from Ted to Beverly Hills. Tell me a little bit about when you're talking about the wealthy have to suffer injustice, and that you've made the comment, you're on the warpath, you're sick and tired of hearing about poor people getting unjustly treated. What about the rich?
Yeah, I'm saying it right out. You know, I'm on the warpath, I'm saying it right, I'm saying something that no one's ever said before in the context of what we're talking about. I've heard people say, you know, don't put me down because I'm wealthy, but I'm getting sick and tired of hearing from these stockholders. I mean, let me give you an example, Phil. I received a call from a very good friend of mine. I call him John. Although, if you met him, you'd want his autograph. He's a very powerful guy.
What, is he an actor or something?
I can't comment. But if you met him, and if everyone in your audience met him, they'd immediately want his autograph. And I'm not even saying it's a he, but I'm using that as a,
nom de plume or whatever.
Right. Now, this guy runs a top ad agency in Los Angeles. He told me that they didn't recognize him at Burke Williams. They made him wait for a spot treatment. And I said, all right, now do you understand the times we live in? I said to him, this is the kind of thing that people don't understand. So you might as well complain to me, but don't complain to anybody else. He said, well, what are you talking about? I said, look, I know what you're going through. But if you talk to the average person, like these people that are, you know, the ones I'm calling your show tonight?
Yeah.
I don't think I've talked to one person who makes more than six figures a year.
Well, how would you know that?
Well, it's just I can tell by the sound of their, you know, their voices. But he says he went over to Burke Williams to try to get a spot treatment, and they made him wait. I said, you know, we commiserated, but I said, don't repeat it to anybody who makes less than seven figures a year. They're not going to understand it. Because we don't get sympathy. We don't get justice. We get kicked in the privates because we have money.
Yeah, but I don't, and maybe it's because I'm not rich, I don't know why it's suffering to have to wait for a spa treatment.
I know you don't know it's suffering because you don't make the kind of money that I make.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Rusty. Go ahead, Rusty, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I have all the respect in the world for people who make a lot of money. And I hope to do so more and more myself. But I think it is the height of arrogance for this guy, whoever he is, to talk about...
I'm Ted Bell, right? I own one of the most successful steakhouses in the West Coast.
That's fine. God bless you.
I'm Ted Bell.
I think it is the height of arrogance for you to talk about dealing with people who don't make as much money as you do, in terms of having to go to their houses and you're afraid you're going to get some bad food because they prepared it themselves or something like that.
I think it's a concern, yes, sir. I think it's a concern. You got to understand that I, first of all, I'm a restaurateur, so I know that the Board of Health makes me keep my restaurant cleaner than your kitchen. Now, that's not any comment on you. Now, number two, when you go to a guy's house and he says, do you want to come over and we'll sit in the backyard, I'm not sure what's he driving at. Can you tell me?
Well, what do you mean?
Sitting in the backyard.
When a guy says, come to your house and sit in the, what is wrong with that?
What is that? I live in an 8,000 square foot home. I've got a pool house. Doesn't he understand that when he asks me to sit on a lawn chair in his backyard, he doesn't understand, so why am I even talking about it?
Explain to us, what is it like to sit on a lawn chair in someone's backyard instead of sitting in your pool house?
It is a deprivation. It is something that I have, that I had, that I don't have anymore. In other words, it is going without. In other words, it is a suffering that is experienced just like the poor and just like the middle class.
What do you sit in?
I beg your pardon?
What do you sit in when you're not...
No, I'm talking, I have a pool house. I've got a pool that's 41 feet long, 22 feet wide... With
okay,
a springboard.
Right?
What do I want to sit in the guy's backyard and watch his sprinklers go off? So you're asking me to sit and get eaten by bugs?
No.
I don't understand what this guy's...
Well, no.
I'm not asking you to do anything.
I can tell if people are calling, you're just dying to ask me what it's like to be rich. Why don't you just ask me what it's like to be rich?
Listen, let me tell you something. If I had an attitude like you, if I thought that being rich brought with it an attitude like you've got, I would want to be poor.
So you want me to come over to your house with your chain link fence? With your mobile home parked in the driveway.
I grew up in an upper class neighborhood. father with a good job.
Well,
I've got some education. I'm doing well myself. And let me tell you something, bud. I wouldn't have you in
tell
my
me
house.
About the, tell me about the last Clemson game you went to. You know, look, I got floor seat. You wouldn't have me. Let's just say you and I were friends.
I wouldn't have you in my house with the attitude that you've got.
Do you got a dog?
Yes.
And you let it run around in the yard?
So you don't
have a run for it?
My dog lives in the house and in the yard.
Oh, my.
What?
I can't explain.
All right, Rick, Rusty, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. What is wrong with that?
What? Look at, again, to each his own. But I got to go to a guy's house where the dog's not in a run. You're going to ask me to do that, and then you have the arrogance to say to me, "Oh, the rich, they don't suffer." You know, to me, I want to just—I would rather, Phil, honest to God, there is a biblical phrase, and it goes something like this: I would rather put my eyes out with a stick from a tree then look at you.
That, is that in the Bible?
I believe it is.
Here's Heather. Heather, go ahead.
Hi. You know, I just want to say that I think you really have no idea what real suffering is.
Oh, here we go.
I knew I was going to get that call.
I don't know what real suffering is.
Well, then use another term, because suffering is not being recognized at Williams. It's not eating food from someone of a lesser status than you. That's not suffering. So,
well, ma'am, how do you know?
I think you're using the wrong term.
May I ask you, are you wealthy?
No, I'm
middle
class.
There you go. So you don't
know.
So you don't know.
I do know what it's like to be wealthy. I have very close friends that are wealthy.
No, you don't know.
You've
got friends to me. It's like saying I've got a black friend. So that means I know what it's like to be black. Of course you
know.
No.
But you know what the difference between my wealthy friends are is that they're humble. They don't have the arrogance that you have.
Heather, can I tell you something? When you leave their house, they laugh. When you leave their house, they laugh. And
they
go, somebody open a window. Yes, they do. That's what we do. When we hit,
what does that mean? That's what we do.
When we have our middle class friends over, we'll say, oh yeah, it's really great. And then when they leave, we'll go, Jesus, someone open a window.
No, you know what? I think that you're labeling the wealthy as something that they're not. And I think that you're giving those who are wealthy a bad name.
No, ma'am.
I think you're giving them less credit, because I think that you are just arrogant.
I think
that you have no idea what real suffering is, to eat at someone's house or to sit on a lawn chair versus your pool house, and that's suffering. To drive a
D-class
BMW as your loner.
When you're used to it, yes. Look, my wife...
Now, I do understand that. I do understand when you're accustomed to things. But suffering for 2 days while your car is in the shop getting its new TV screen put in the back seat.
I didn't have a new TV screen put in the back seat, okay? Look, I have about a 7,800 square foot home, all right? We've got a beautiful pool. Now you invite me over to Heather. Let's say I go to Heather's house.
Uh-huh.
And there
and
I go, and I
said,
I ask, no, I go into your bathroom, and you got the big wicker basket with the toilet paper rolls in it. And you're asking me to live like that.
And where is your toilet paper, sir?
Well, I can tell you, I never see it. We have a lady that comes in three times. We have a lady that comes in three times a week and does a lot of those things, yes.
Okay, and you know what? I have a maid that comes once a week and cleans for us, too. And you know what?
That's a cleaning woman. That's not a maid.
Okay, excuse me. I'm sorry. I used the wrong term.
Big difference.
But
yeah.
You know what?
Listen,
I think you're using the wrong term by labeling what you're going through as suffering.
Yeah, I agree with Heather. I mean, look, would you say that...
Well, of course you agree with Heather, Phil. You agree with every call. You pander to your callers. What I'm trying to do is enlighten you and show you a new way. And
would you say that a poor child hungry for food is you're suffering not having your BMW, but having a... Is that equal to that?
Phil, how many people that are listening to your show right now are actually starving? I'm talking about these people, the nice lady like Heather, who may have friends over and they eat the cube cheese on the cracker, and that's great. I can't live like that. But my employees, when they invite me over for a baby shower, I just had Jim Berman and his wife, they just had a baby. They had a baby shower at their home. They got a little 1,800 square foot thing. You know, it's a home down here. And I said, you know, I can't do it. I can't live like that anymore. So the my employees are getting
You refuse to go to their home?
I asked if they would like to have it at our home.
Yeah,
our home. We have a beautiful backyard.
You're so beneath everyone else is so beneath you. And I think that you need to realize that...
Ma'am, I want to play... You sound like an intelligent... I want to play a commercial for you. We produced this commercial at very great expense, The FCC, after I spent the money on this commercial, forced me to edit my commercial, so now it sounds ridiculous. That's money out of my pocket. Listen.
That's called business.
Yes, but listen, please just listen to this. This is a lot of money I spent on this.
Chats of Beverly Hills.
There goes Steakhouse. Come on down. And then I talk here about the different specials we have, all right? I went to an ad agency in Dallas, Texas. The whole session cost about $500,000. Listen to what they made me do to this.
Here at Chats, we want to put our meat in your...
Now...
I can understand why the FCC said that.
Why?
Well, you had to beep out a word that's going to make it sound bad.
I'm asking Heather, I'm not asking you.
You know what?
We want to put our meat in your... And then they beeped out a word, and if you heard the word, it's not obscene at all. It's
They're
not...
called regulations, sir. Those happen to everybody. It's
do you
edited.
Have to deal with that? Do you have to deal with a commercial being edited? No, because all Heather has to do is go down to the Pick and Save, put on her vest, have
show you their
membership card, and then you're done.
All right, Heather, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. In an effort to make yourself look good...
Did you hear that? We want to put our meat in your beep? That's something that was done to me by the federal government. And average Joes like Heather, the only thing she's got to worry about is whether or not what? I don't know. I mean, is her husband going to be able to pick up that four-pack of Slim Pack on the way home?
Here is Aaron. Aaron, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. Actually, I just wanted to say that this fellow is right. We can't truly understand the kind of stuff he goes through because he is much richer than the other 90% of the Americans that are out there that buy his product and work for slave wages in his stores.
What do you mean slave wages? I don't pay. I've got to pay minimum wage, sir. I have to pay minimum wage, sir. Federally mandated.
Minimum wage, of course.
And
the thing about it is, you're out there bragging about being worth, what is it, 8 figures? Is that what you're saying?
I'm worth over 8 figures.
You said 8 figures, I think.
That's correct.
And you're bragging about that, but you're talking about someone that's making less than, say, what, $20,000 a year?
Wait a minute.
Was that right?
I'm not complaining about them. I'm just saying, why do I have to go down to their house?
I am agreeing with you.
Okay, Aaron, you got to let him talk. What did you say, Ted?
I'm sorry.
I said, I don't care if you want to live like that, Aaron. That's your business. Why do I got to go to your house? Why can't they have their baby shower at my house? I've got a billiard room, a lot of things. I don't want to go to their house.
I'm sure. Well,
are you making fun of me?
Yeah, you're making fun of you. You don't want to go to their house.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm just
saying
that
I don't want to sit in a lawn chair watching the sprinklers go off and watching some kid who's got some kind of Chef Boyardee smeared on his face and he's naked from the waist down and he's running around and no one is... I'm having a hard time talking to a man whose yearly income is the same price as my new pool cabana. You know what I'm saying? So
I understand.
It's just, you understand me, though, don't you, Aaron? Okay, now listen.
I understand completely.
Oh, here we go again with this.
Now listen to this. We want to put our meat in your beef. Now, I spent over $500,000. You know who this is that's singing? This is Julie London.
You're kidding.
No.
We got
Julie London to sing our jingle. Listen to this. The great Julie London.
And he's going
to
get to
Would you please be quiet, Aaron? This is my commercial.
No.
I said to shut up, Aaron.
You're advertising completely on this show.
We want to put our meat in your beef. Julie London, who doesn't even get out of bed for less than, say, a payday of less than 50 G's. And they edited
her
out.
Needless to say, this man is correct. We don't understand, and we can't understand, because most of us aren't elitist.
And most of you don't really make a lot of money.
No, we don't, because you're the top 1% of the country.
I know, I read the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, good for you. It's nice to know that you have to read something yourself and don't have someone read it to you.
Say that again?
Yeah, minimum wage.
Someone read it to me?
I'm sure.
That's a good idea.
Hey,
you want the job?
Here at Chats, we want to put our meat in your...
That's not Julie London.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean Julie London who did the Marlboro commercials?
Well, it's either that it's Kate Hudson. It's one of them. Kate Hudson doesn't even roll out of the rack for less than $1 million a day. And I got her into a studio to cut that commercial. We want to put our meat, and I can't say the word, and they beep it out. And to me...
I must say, gentlemen, I am impressed that he doesn't pay someone to read his paper. newspaper for him.
I'm offering you a job.
I'm offering you the job,
Aaron. You walked into that.
I've worked with people like you, and I already have my own business. I'm doing quite well.
I hung up on him, Aaron. Thank you for your call. The thing that did it was the na-na-na-na-na. That... Kate Hudson doesn't roll out of bed for less than $1 million a day. All right, 1-800-449-8686.
Listen to what they did to my commercial.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Oh, why did they do it to my commercial? I'm sorry. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's. We want to put our meat in your
plate.
Are you trying to tell me all it was plate?
That's all it was, plate. We want to put our meat on your plate. And the FCC thought, oh, well, that could be taken a certain way.
Are you kidding me?
No, what do you think I'm trying to tell you? That's a lot of money that I spend. I got to butcher it. I had to butcher it. And I had to call up Kate and I had to say, honey, they butchered your work. You know who answered the phone was Chris Robinson, you know, the big rock star. You know him?
Yeah, yeah. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, the eighth wonder of the world. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We'll be right back on our show. We've got coming up tonight another mailbag. We'll take a walk down memory lane. We have coming up also another lesson on how to read a news story, and another example of how life imitates Phil. And we have a flashback with Jim Sadler, and we have the Billboard charts. Yes, the Billboard charts. These are the top 100 albums sold this week in America, and Janet Jackson's isn't even in the top 50. So what's everybody talking about? I'll tell you what they're talking about. Her breast, and only her breast. And it's the only thing they want to talk about, baby. Don't you understand? Even Ryan Seacrest wanted to ask you about it, but he knew he'd get beaten up by one of your goons had he mentioned it. So he sat there and pretended like he really likes your music and thinks you're just ever so fascinating, even though you couldn't get freaking arrested these days. You tried to, and you couldn't get arrested. Everybody else is getting arrested but you. Dig that. Janet Jackson pulls it out. They don't even find CBS. Radio gets it. That's how dull she is. Nothing against you, baby, you know, but come on. Just come over to my house, man. We're having a pool party this weekend. I'm going to an Avenger game tomorrow night. I'm inviting Janet Jackson. I get 2 tickets. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Dust my broom.
Time now for how to read a news story. Every now and again, we come across a news story, and I just know how you guys are going to, not you guys, but let's just say the more mentally deficient among us are going to read this story.
I'm all get up in the morning.
So here it is. This is how to read this news story. See, you're going to read it, and you're going to believe certain things. And I'm just telling you how to read this story. Here it is. Orange County, Florida. Walt Disney World. Orange County Sheriff's Office investigators have arrested a Walt Disney World employee who worked as the character Tigger and charged him with molesting a 13-year-old girl and her mother while posing with them for pictures in February. Michael Chartrand was charged with one count of lewd and lascivious molestation of a child between 12 and 15 years old and one count of simple battery. I guess if you allegedly or otherwise fondle a woman, it's battery. He was booked into the jail. The cops said they received a complaint that a costume character at Disney World had touched a girl and her mother inappropriately. As the photo was being taken, the victim claims that Tigger moved his right hand up to her right breast. Yeah, that would make sense. And started his right hand up to her left breast, would have sort of a backhand, I guess, and started massaging it several times. Later, the girl learned that the costume character had done the same thing to her mother with his left hand, and so they reported it to the police. First of all, it ain't his right hand, it's his right paw. I'm joking. No, but here's why I think people need to be alerted to stories like this. And I can't do this with every news story. It's impossible for me to do it with every news story. You're just going to have to figure it out for yourself. But here's how you read this story. What's missing from this story? Orange County police said the guy did this and this. The little girl who did it, or who claimed it, said the guy did this and this. The woman, the mother of the child, claims the guy did this and this. What's missing from the story? Tigger's side of the story. That's what's missing from the story. Guy says, well, what do you mean, Phil? Why do we have to hear the police say? The police say. He had a police say. The police are just saying what the woman says. And the woman is saying it, and the kid's saying it. Those are the only people that are making a claim here that something happened. You understand? They're making a claim, and nothing more. Now, why do I doubt this happened? Because if you've ever seen those costumes that those guys wear at Disney World, unless it's one of the dwarfs, I think the dwarfs don't have paws, they're rather bulky. Tigger is a tiger character from Winnie the Pooh. Am I right about that? I don't know. But anyway, he's got paws. Now, these are rather bulky costumes, very thick. How exactly do you fondle a woman's breast with a big, thick, padded costume paw? More to the point, how do you know what you're touching with a big, thick, padded paw, right? You're big and you're large and you're huge. You've put your arm around the person and maybe your paw has touched their breast. You have no idea. You're just putting your arm around them. Now, that's a possible explanation for what happened. But I'll never know because I'm never going to hear Michael Chartrand's side of it. Why? Because nobody's asking him. That's why. Nobody ever asks the guys that are accused of something unless they're accused of something that the reporter thinks is bad and the reporter wants to put that spin on it. And I'm telling you, it happens morning, noon, and freaking night in this country. Some guy, like I said, the print media is under a serious attack, serious charge from the Internet. You don't understand. You have no idea how much they're sweating the Internet these days in the print industry. Cats that are writing stories for newspapers or online magazines like Salon. Yeah, nice try, Salon. You guys are going to be up in 2 years. Who cares about you hiring some jive jerk when there's a million, billion, trillion people out in America and the world who are writing their own thoughts and feelings about things? Who's to say some guy that writes for Salon is some kind of an expert anyway, right? The key is, who's got the talent, baby? Who's filling it up with the stuff that the people want to read, right? Now, the guy here, this Chartrand guy, they got a mugshot published of him. They didn't have to do that either, but they decided they put the photo in there, too, in case you're worried about your kid getting molested at Disney World. You'll know what he looks like if he's got his Tigger head off. I don't know what it means. In a charging affidavit filed in court, police wrote that Chartrand told him he had trouble remembering things, but was very sorry for everything that occurred and hoped the victim would forgive him for what he had done. The girl and her father reported the incident on February 29th. Well, the poor guy's got to apologize for something he's not even sure he did. And even if he did it, does it mean that he was fondling them or was he just putting his big paw around them? How do you feel? You can't feel anything with that, can you? You ever been in one of those suits? I haven't, but I hear they're it's like a million degrees in the thing. You're sweating your rear end off. All you want to do is go downstairs. At Disney World, they have an underground complex where the employees walk around in dwarf costumes. It must look pretty weird. Guys are just bopping around. Yeah, how you doing, Charlie? You're great. Well, I'm a cop today down on Main Street. Right, okay. And there's a dwarf, and there's chipmunks, you know, just Chip and Dale. By the way, those characters scare the hell out of people anyway. There's a certain prejudice. My little niece, when she was three, we took her to Disneyland. When she saw that Chip and Dale, she screamed as if she'd seen the face of Frankenstein. She hated them. Little kids, it's well known, hate them. And they're always looking for a way to get him thrown in jail.
And the costumes probably smell like the inside of somebody's armpit because it's just, oh, boy. Hey, you wearing a Tigger costume today, John? Yeah. How about taking a bath? Because I'm in it tomorrow. So anyway, that's how to read a news story. It's a very simple thing, guys. Where's the other side of the story? You charge a guy with molesting people, for crying out loud. Don't you think you ought to have the other side in there? Or have you got some agenda going on there, Anthony Colarossi of the Orlando freaking Sentinel, whatever the hell you are and whatever that is? Put the guy's side of the story in there. Maybe this woman's a fruitcake. You ever thought about that? Which, by the way, her name ain't published, neither's her kids, because, you know, you can't publish the name of a possible molestation victim, but they could at least give her the first name of the mother. I realize if they give the last name, you know who the kid is, but how about we just call her Sylvia?
Sylvia, who will, a woman who we'll call Mary,
claimed that Tigger fondled her. Mary, who's looking for a real quick couple of hundred G's from Disney, you know, they got the bread, and this is called a nuisance lawsuit, too. Because, you know, they're going to sue, too. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because the bullcrap in this world flows upstream, not down. You guys all think that most of the BS flows downstream from the government and the big cats upstairs. A lot of it does. But most of it's coming uphill from Mr. and Mrs. Man on the Street in America. Mr. and Mrs., I think I know a quick way to make a couple of hundred G's. I'll accuse one of the dwarfs or Chippendale of putting his finger in my thing. And the next thing you know, I'm 200 grand richer. That's that. That's how to read a news story. All right, we got a mailbag and a flashback. You know, life is a funny thing, man. Oftentimes we find that it imitates this show. I'm going to have something on that for you coming up. Email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. That's phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I got a Life Imitates Phil coming up. You wait till you hear this one. This is beautiful. Now, and I'll tell you, it'll be coming up in a few minutes. Life Imitates Phil is a bit that we do where we show you instances in life that have occurred a year or two after we initially did it on our show. Oh, you say, well, it's the luck of the draw, Phil. I mean, that happened. No, not this stuff that we talk about. All right, now, Fed warns of transit terror attacks. Well, they told you. Federal government says local authorities should be aware that possible attacks in the U.S. transportation system could happen this summer. We're talking about bombs being placed in trains, being placed in buses, especially near major U.S. cities. Now, you've been warned. Okay? Now, what are we going to hear? Well, we're probably going to hear from cats like Carrie. It's a climate of fear that we're living in. All right? So the cat, then, you know, maybe we shouldn't say anything about it. And when the bomb blows the bus up, somebody's going to say, how soon did President Bush know about this? And why didn't he say something? You know, you can't win in this freaking nut house of a country. You cannot win, man. Now today I hear about some woman who is testifying in front of the 9/11 committee, and she says, well, you know, the government knew about Al-Qaeda's plans to use planes against buildings and cities. Like, this is a news flash? This is coming out on some of these jive sites like independent.co, you know, that UK paper. Like, this is some, hey, I hate to tell you limeys this, but this crap was flying around, man, about a month after 9/11. Everybody knew that Al-Qaeda was planning on using planes to attack cities, all right? It came out after 9/11, yes. There were some memos passed back and forth about Al-Qaeda and what they might do. One of them was using planes against cities. Nobody knew that they were going to fly an airplane full of, 200 passengers, a commercial aircraft that was hijacked, not one but four, into the World freaking Trade Center as a suicide mission. Big difference between that and saying they might be using planes against cities. Now, do you think anybody in this country can actually sit down and figure this out or wants to? No. It's probably going to take a bomb blowing up a train here for people to reevaluate the whole situation. However, as I said, the warning's there. There could be, but I personally, and I don't want to spread any panic, but I just think that Madrid job was so beautiful. Why, if you were Al-Qaeda, why would you not pull something in the United States? Why not? You think I might get Kerry in there? I don't know. If I was Kerry, I'd be so insulted. I'd do something to try to distance myself from all of that stuff, but that's the thinking, man. That job in Madrid was so solid, baby. You watch. It's going to happen here. I'm not the kind of guy that used to predict this stuff either. But I'm just kind of looking at the, you know, I'm looking at the mood here, man. I'm looking at the whole situation here in this country, the way things have been going down, the way everybody is all of a sudden starting to cry and wring their hands, the way they're saying they ain't got enough jobs, they ain't got enough clean air, they don't have their health insurance. Like, all of a sudden, somebody just decided that they want to make everything crappy around here. The way that the whole thing in 9/11 has got to be the fault of the government, it's got to be the fault of the president. Forget about whether the American people had their thumb parked up their rear ends. It's got to be the Big Brother's fault, right? I've been watching how things have been going, man, and I knew it had happened this way. I just knew it. I knew everybody would get back to business as usual because they want to get back to business as usual. They can't stand the idea that their freaking world has changed forever. Well, I got news for you. It has. So that's why I really believe that these guys are going to do something now. Buses and trains. I don't know why they didn't try it before this. We got so many people complaining about the security measures in this country. They don't like the Patriot Act. I haven't heard of one guy arrested under the Patriot Act yet that has challenged it in court. I don't know of one constitutional challenge to the Patriot Act. I don't know of anybody that's been detained for any length of time under the Patriot Act who's a citizen of the United States. All I hear is people don't dig it. I got news for you, man. 160 people were busted in Italy yesterday. You think they got a Patriot Act over there? Better to the point, you think they got one in Spain now? Or are they just letting every raghead pour in that wants to come in and taste some of their paella? Somebody want to come in and have some of that good greasy squid or whatever the hell they eat over there? So they warned them, man. And here's the thing. When you warn them, people say, well, it's a climate of fear. Why do we have to hear about every story? Well, we don't have to tell you. Well, when they tell you, they don't tell you, and then something blows up, then somebody wants to sue somebody. Hey, I think what I'll do is I'll sue the government because they didn't tell me about a train blowing up. So now they're telling you. Boy, I wouldn't want to be president of the United States, I'll tell you that much. You want to know why? Well, I really don't know why. Hell, I'd use it for all I could. This guy is, you know what they say about this one president? He's stupid. He's brought us into a foolish and destructive war. The war's an utter fiasco. The American people don't think it should be fought. They think there are many more serious issues on the table than fighting this war, right? Who do you think I'm talking about, Bush or Lincoln? Guess what? I'm talking about both of them. Really funny. You can read history and people say, oh, yeah, it's a fait accompli. The Civil War was a great war, and it freed the slaves. Not back in 1860 freaking one it wasn't, man. Everybody that back then thought Lincoln was a big, tall, stupid imbecile. Read George Bush, only he's kind of a midget. They didn't want to fight no war for blacks. Are you kidding me? Any more they want to fight any wars over there in Iraq. They didn't want to see guys getting shot and killed. They had draft rights. You know about that. Thank God for gangs in New York. At least it portrayed something fairly accurately. Big waste of time, big waste of resources, unpopular war. Ridiculous. And the president himself, an utter idiot. You know, you have to be an idiot to think that anybody, honest to God, you have to be an idiot to think that anybody who becomes president is an idiot. You have to be. I'm telling you, that we've had some bad presidents, but none of them have been stupid. Now, that's just the facts, Jack. And to think you got a stupid president is to suddenly come face to face with the reality that you yourself are an idiot for thinking it. The one thing this guy ain't is stupid. He may be beholden to a lot of people that I don't like, including those freaking towel wrappers down there in Saudi Arabia. As far as I'm concerned, you know what they're doing in Alaska right now? They're going to open up state land for drilling, man. It's good. Fantastic. Start drilling that juice out of the ground over there, okay? I'm so sick and tired of those ragheads and everything that we have to do to deal with them. I'm sick and tired of that part of the world, man. Aren't you? Aren't you people just sick of reading about them, looking at them, being around them? And the fact that if you care about American soldiers getting killed in Iraq, the only reason we're over there is because of that oil. If for that reason alone, man, you'd think people would just kind of take their tree-hugging ways, man, and put them up on a shelf for just a few months and let us pull some juice out of the ground up there in Alaska and find out what the hell else is going on. The immorality alone of not drilling in Alaska, but then bitching about the fact that we're in Iraq and having dealings in the Middle East, it breaks all records. I don't know where people are coming from, man. Like I said, the bullcrap flies from the ground up, not from the top down. Anyway, the governor of the state of Alaska said, hey, you know what? I don't give a crap about national land. I'm going to open up state land. What do you think about that? And we're going to drill oil. Now, who wants to stop me? Because some guy down in California sucking on a latte and going to the Brown Squirrel Symposium, he can't do nothing about it, man. I love animals, you know? I love the caribou. I wish we didn't have to drill up there. I'd be happy to be taken out of the ground in Saudi Arabia. You want my plan? Here's my plan. We tell the Saudis, here's what we're going to do. We're paying you now $10 a barrel. Ha, 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 they say. You cannot get away with that. And you notice how they sound French because, you know, same difference. And, yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to pay you $10 a barrel. Well, then we're not going to sell it to you. Oh, yes, you are. Are you actually saying that you're going to invade our country? Well, why not? You nationalized that oil. It was American engineers and American companies that pulled it out of the ground. Then you turn around and nationalize it? Why shouldn't we invade you? You stole something from us. You stole our technology. But these are the natural resources of the Arab people. You can't take it. Oh, get out of here with the natural. These are the natural resources of you guys, man. You guys bathe in that crap when you aren't sticking it in your Mercedes. Who are you kidding? So we're offering you $10 a barrel, and you got 2 weeks to accept or decline. Whatever you want to do. But keep this in mind. If you decline, guess what? We're going to take it. Now, that's my plan. Anybody for it? That way, the caribou are good. All the squirrels and chipmunks live long. And you can drive big, fat cars for the rest of your life. And the ragheads are just going to have to sit there and suck on the money they make out of $10 a barrel as opposed to $25 or $30. That means it cuts their profits down by a third. That means they're living on only $60 billion a year instead of $180 billion a year. Now, I know it's tough. I know it's probably going to be it's going to take a lot out of them, but I know they'll probably muddle through somehow. What do you think? I love it. Coming up, Life Imitates Phil on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up, I'm going to give a little bit of a lecture on the difference between racism and, knocking a culture, okay? Because we just got another dumb phone call, this one from San Francisco, about how Raghead is kind of racist and the poor idiot needs to have some things explained to him, and I'll do that. Now, it's time for a little feature that we call on our show, Life Imitates Phil. What does that mean, life imitates Phil? Well, listen to this. I'm going to read a story. And these are sent in by our listeners, by the way. This one sent in by James. He said, this might interest Phil. Funny how I thought of the show when I heard this. It kind of sounds like something Bobby Dooley would do. Patricia Johnson of Sharon, Pennsylvania, was charged by Shenango Township Police with four counts each of indecent exposure, corruption of minors, and furnishing alcohol to minors. And reckless endangerment. Apparently this woman gave boys beer and tried to touch them in their pants and lick their faces, police said. She and her son and three boys' friends met at 10 p.m. July 26th, back in August, at the recreation station in Hermitage, Pennsylvania. They intended to ride go-karts, but the go-karts already were rented out. Well, you gotta keep the kids entertained, so she gave the boys a dollar bill. Well, she gave them dollar bills, told them that she wanted to be a stripper, and asked them to put the bills in her bra and panties. Ms. Johnson exposed herself and told the boys to spank her. Out of sight. Jeez, man. This stuff happened to other kids. This never happened to me when I was a kid. Anyway, the guy sent the story in, and he said, it sounds like life's imitating Phil. Well, right you are, James. Life is imitating Phil. Now, that story was in August of 2003, a full year and a half before that, in May of 2002, Bobby Dooley, one of our guests, and her husband Steve hosted a party for one of their sons. They're the only ones who could have hosted the party because, well, in their opinion, they're just very with it and hip. The kids were allowed to have booze and sex as long as they kept it out in the open. Steve walked around with no pants on. Here they are from May 2003 as life imitates Phil, Bobby and Steve Dooley.
I think the two of you are disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think you are appalling that you call yourself a mother and father. Yeah, I would never allow my children. Of course the kids want to come to your house.
I don't understand.
I do understand. I understand completely. You two consider yourselves young and witted and loose and all that. You are loose, all right.
No.
You're condoning open sex. And if they want to have a drink, fine.
Debbie, let me explain to you. These kids are going to have sex anyway.
Let me tell you something. I have teenage daughters
mm-hmm.
of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. You're making it very comfortable. If my kids knew they can go to a house where the parents who are with it and young, I think you two are off the wall and you need help.
You know,
okay? Of course
the
kids are going to go there and have sex.
If the kids can hear what you're saying,
you know Debbie, something?
They say, you're really out of it. You're so out of
no,
it.
You know something? I think that you and your husband get your rocks off by having this go on.
How dare
that is
you.
Disgusting.
How
and I
dare
can't
you.
Believe that a school is allowing
How dare you?
How dare you corrupting other people? Other people's children.
You know, Debbie, if you'd loosen up and let your daughters come to a party that we have.
I wouldn't let my daughters, never
your
near you
or
your perverted husband, you and your perverted husband. He's walking around your backyard naked from the waist down, and you have other people's children there?
We get a big laugh out of it. The kids get a big laugh. It's
oh, you
no
get a big laugh
deal.
Out of it?
Yes.
You know what? You're perverted. That's what you are.
The
You're getting a laugh out of it?
It's no big deal. The kids have a big laugh. We all get together and laugh about it.
Well, wait a minute. I want to jump in here. What are you all getting together and laughing about?
Steve was in the jacuzzi. He was nude from the waist down, and he jumped up out of the jacuzzi and went surprise. And the kids thought it was a riot.
So this was the kids didn't know that he was nude in the jacuzzi?
They thought it was funny,
Phil. That was a riot. And now what age are these kids?
Excuse me, I can't hear you. What did you say?
What age are these children? They're under 18?
They're teenagers.
They're under 18.
They're teenagers.
And what's the approximate age?
I beg your pardon?
What is the approximate age?
Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 19.
I didn't.
19?
No, I said 13.
I can't
her phone,
hear you.
Her phone, your phone cut out. What did you say?
I said 14, 19. Either 14.
14 to 19. Do you think that
14?
It's a big laugh that 14-year-old girls and guys are going to see your husband naked from the waist down? What the heck is wrong with you two?
It was all a big laugh. Everybody understood.
It's a big laugh. I think you two are... you know what? It's really not a laugh. It's really pitiful.
Wait a minute.
That people like you who are adults are corrupting these children.
Debbie, our children today desperately need adults who understand them and are with them.
Oh, really? You know what our children today need? I'll tell you what our children today need.
How do you dress? I bet you don't even know DKNY or FUBU.
Oh, you know something? You're absolutely wrong. First of all, I'm in New York. That's the first thing. Don't tell me I don't know what DKNY
is,
okay?
Okay, what's FUBU?
Okay? Don't tell me I don't know the latest fashion because I do. All right? But you know what the kids need today? They need church-going people that have some morals and scruples.
Hey, Debbie,
that's what they need.
Debbie,
not
Phil Henry.
Like you.
Debbie, this is Phil Henry. I want to ask Steve a question, Mr. Dooley.
Yeah.
The word is that when you jumped out of that jacuzzi, you yelled the words, uh-oh, the cobra's out of the cage. What is that supposed to mean?
They thought the kids
thought it was funny, Phil. It was a riot.
The cobras.
Of course they're gonna think it's funny.
You know, you're so old, Debbie. You don't know where the phone
I'm
is.
I'm so
can't
old.
Hear you.
I bet you I'm younger than
you
honey.
You dropped the phone, honey.
I bet you're younger than you. Don't you tell me I'm old.
Well, then why
okay?
are you dropping the phone? Every time you talk like this, I can't even hear you. I can't hear you.
You know
where
what? You, you,
and you know why I can hear you? Because my hearing is young.
Yes, you're, so,
young
you're so intent on being young.
Yeah, exactly.
And loose and everything else. Why don't you get into a, why don't you go into a nudist college, get into a cult, you and your husband, okay? This way you can be with people your own age and stop corrupting these 14 to 19-year-old children. We need direction and people with morals. I'm ending this call now because you are making me sick.
My husband wasn't totally nude. He was nude from the waist down. He yelled the cobras out of the cage. It was a riot.
That's Bobby and Steve Dooley from May of 2002 on Life Imitates Phil. Those things are happening now, and most recently, last summer, some woman giving guys dollar bills, and, 14-year-old guys giving dollar bills, giving them dollar bills and saying, stuff them in my panties, and isn't that terrible? I guess. No, it's bad. It's a very corrupting thing. This has been Life Imitates Phil. 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Henry Show. We'll have a walk down a memory lane. What the hell is the difference between Life Imitates Phil and a walk down memory lane anyway? Oh, walk down memory lane is just a favorite bit that people... See, these things are sent in to us by you guys, and we're very happy to accommodate when we can. So if you do have a request for a walk down memory lane, just a bit you dug that you want to hear, we're happy to roll that for you. If you see a news story that reminds you of a bit we did, well, that's a Life Imitates Phil, okay? Then, if you see a news story that has resulted from a bit we did on the air, that's called Phil Influences Life, and that also is at the same web address, the same email address. Now then, if you hear the... Sorry.
Why don't you shut up and just get on with it? Dear Harry, God.
All right, the Best of Phil Henry Show CD is Can We Can, that cornball Chamber of Commerce music. Every time I hear that, I want to, Glendale, California. Yes, home to the Tournament of Roses Parade. Just turn it off. All right, the Best of Phil Henry Show 2003 CD is called The Death of Talk Radio. And with good reason. That's all I got to say about that. Anyway, you can buy it on our website or call 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445, to order The Death of Talk Radio. Coming up, we have that little lecture I wanted to give you guys on, what is racism as opposed to, I always hear idiots say this. You're putting down Muslims. That's racist. No, it's not, man. Yes, it is. It's bigoted and racist. No, it's not. And I'm going to tell you why, coming, and you can amaze your friends with this, too. You'll just be, it'll blow your mind, man. And how it's cool to use the term raghead. It's cool. Some cat called and said he's going to sue me. Is that what it was, Chris? He's going to sue me if I use the term raghead. Raghead, 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 raghead. Please sue me, man. I can't wait to see you spend your money on that one. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I have to, at this time, mention a technical matter to you. This is a technical note. If I sound as if I'm talking really fast, last night I was talking to some friends of mine after the show, and they said, we're listening to your last rap, and you sound like you're talking really fast. I said, I suspect, and I hope and pray that I'm wrong, but I suspect that perhaps... one or two of the stations that I'm on may be using something called a cash box. Now, I'll tell you what a cash box is. It is a piece of technology that can literally eliminate little bits of dead air or lack of modulation or non-sound, if you will, so that all the words are crammed together and you sound like you're talking really fast. Why is this done? It's done so that they can open up another minute or two of commercial availability. I do not approve of its use. I said so to a couple of program directors. It's an example of what I've been telling you guys all along about this business that I'm in, this business of radio. I do something that's theatrical. It's the most remote, the most foreign. It's the most just, I might as well be talking Swahili when I talk about art and theatrics to radio people, because they don't, all they want to do is sell commercial time, right? I appreciate the commercials being sold in my show. I really do. I'm supposed to get onto my hands and knees and kiss the rear ends of everybody that sells airtime on my show. It ought to be a hell of a lot easier than maybe it is if people would understand what it is that we do around here. When they cash box my show, as I understand, for instance, they do in Los Angeles, they take 3 hours of very hard work that we do on, in preparing our show every day, and they throw it into a toilet. Now, I'm not coming on here with a guest, taking calls, getting opinions, and doing all that other kind of talk radio that I would rather swallow razor blades than do. We come on and we do a certain kind of radio that requires a certain kind of care, I guess. And maybe it's asking too bloody freaking much. They run a cash box on this show. All of the timing is destroyed. All of the pacing is thrown out the window. We're just taking all the dead air out because, after all this is radio. It's not really legitimate. It's not television. God knows that's legitimate art, isn't it? And it isn't movies. It's just a radio show. Why do I even waste my freaking time? I told my wife the other night, I said, I should have been an actor. She said, why do you want to be an actor, man? You'd just be hustling jobs. I go, but it would just be one job to the next, man. I don't have to be invested in something morning, noon, and night for 3, 4, 15, 30 years like I am in my show. I could just go and do a movie, and then I can go to a TV show, and then I just, and I won't give a crap. Why the hell did I get cursed with wanting to be on the radio? Because I'm operating in a universe, in a culture. I don't say I'm better than anybody. I'm just saying I'm operating in a foreign universe. All this is, man, is it's disc jockey heaven around here, man. And if it ain't DJs, it's talk show hosts. But everybody's got to play their records. So the talk show's got to get the calls on. And the DJ's got to spin their records. But what I do, forget it. Nobody gets it. Nobody wants to get it. Nobody wants to understand it. Let's just cash box the crap out of it. So there's a certain kind of pacing and timing that I have on my show. And you know what, man? They just don't care. So they're going to cash box my show and destroy it. Just destroy it. And this is going on at a time when I am fighting every day for every listener. I don't know. I'm not listening to the show, man. I don't know what it sounds like. It's on a 7-second delay. I get home at 10 o'clock, and I may think I had the greatest show in the world, only to find out they cash box the show. It sounds like crap. Maybe a month or two comes out, a month or two later, the ratings come out, we're in the toilet, and I'm sitting there, what's going on, man? I mean, I thought we're really doing some great shows. To find out, who would want to listen to a show that's cash boxed? Who would want to listen to an irritating bunch of stuff like that? And if anybody wants to say this to me, well, you know what, Phil, we're just trying to sell your show. I say, hire some better airtime salespeople then. Hire some people who know how to explain this show and can sell this show and can market this show instead of cash boxing my show to the point where my 3 hours of hard work and the work that my producer does goes right into the crap can. Because they can't find anybody that can sell a freaking show, so they got to cash box it and get 2 or 3 more minutes out of it every hour. And sell it for God knows what. I'm sorry if I'm angry, but I really am angry. I mean, it would be the same thing as if you guys go to work every day and you build a beautiful house, a gorgeous home, you design something only to have somebody come along and just pee all over it. You know what, man? I think we like to change the windows and let's put in new carpeting and let's take down the roof and let's do everything different. Who are these people, Oh my God, if I'd known when I was 19 years old, the first day I stepped into a radio station, that this was, seriously, that this was going to happen to me, that this was going to be the life that I was going to have, good God Almighty, I would have stayed in school. Believe me, stay in school, kids. I'm an example of what happens when you don't stay in school. And if you think I'm having a great time here, think again. And I guess I'm supposed to thank people for putting a cash box on my show. I'm supposed to thank them. Thank you very much for destroying the timing and the pacing of my radio show. Gee, thanks a lot. I guess I got nothing better to do every day than come in here for 3 hours and try to plan a show, and then only to sit down here and have everything that I'm doing put through some kind of a processing system that utterly just lays it to waste. Because, what I do is just like jive ass compared to all that heaviosity, man, that heavy lifting of selling airtime. Let me tell you what, man, I'll trade freaking jobs with you any day of the week. Any day of the week. Now I'm all embarrassed because I was yelling and stuff. No, no, I'm embarrassed. I really am.
Why?
I don't need to talk to you right now, bud.
No, but why are you embarrassed? That was very good.
It was?
Yeah, I thought it was heartfelt and everything. And I can see what you mean. A lot of people are calling in agreeing with you. They don't know what you're talking about, but they agree.
Oh, come on. Leave it to you to come up with a bummer.
Well, what do you mean, cash box?
I explained it, man! Before I kill you, man, get out of here. Okay, now, I got that whole thing I want to do about racism. I got to do... It's going to take some time, you know. All these people who say you're a racist if you don't dig Muslims are wrong, and I'll tell you why. Race is something you're born with. Religion is something you freely choose. Do you understand? It is legitimate to critique someone for their decisions. It is legitimate to critique someone for their decision to live in a certain country or practice a certain culture. It is, however, racist and bigoted to critique and lampoon someone because of their race or their sexual orientation, something that they're born with. Now, do you see the difference? You're not born Christian, and you're not born Muslim. You may be born dumb, and that, of course, is wrong to criticize dumb people. So sorry, bud, for everything I've ever said.
That's really funny.
Be right back on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Gum Out. One bottle helps clean out harmful deposits and can help to restore your car's lost performance. That's good, clean driving.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, by the way, I got some information. I got some information from our Mideast sources on the bombing in Fallujah, and I'm going to give that to you here momentarily, but it should not shock you. It shouldn't surprise you, but it probably will. My exclusive Mideast sources tell me that this is the work of Al-Qaeda, and we'll get into exactly why that is and how that is, and what is Fallujah anyway, and what you know, how does this happen? How does this keep happening over there? I'll tell you, I'll explain all of it to you coming up here on the Phil Hendry Show. Now, here's what I was alluding to, and this is why it's okay to use the word raghead on the air. Because people don't get this. We have been so inundated with this notion and this attitude that it is improper and impolite to categorize or quantify or describe individuals based upon some affectation, some physical, personal, cultural affectation or aspect of them, that we've been told it's all wrong. None of it. No, 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 no. And we've gotten even so far to the point where I'm a Democrat. Well, I think you're a jerk. Well, what are you, a racist? Yeah, I mean, that's how dumb we've gotten. Hi, I'm a Democrat, and I think John Kerry, oh, you're nothing but a racist. I'm a racist? Why? Because I don't like Republicans? Yeah. What? Yeah, that's right, man. No, you're wrong. No, no, I'm right. I learned it in school and everything. I didn't learn a whole hell of a lot else, but I learned that in school, I think. See, racists and bigots are people that impugn another individual because of some orientation from birth or physical or mental trait that they can't help. They can't do anything about. It's impossible. It's impossible for them to do something about what has affected them. For instance, making fun of the handicapped, which we do quite often on our show, could be construed as bigoted. However, when we do it on our show, it's really more to show up the attitudes surrounding people who are not, you know, not can't laugh at themselves. We look at all kinds of very super serious people who, and generally we're not even talking about handicapped people, we're talking about the people that are defending them. handicapped people, homosexuals, African Americans, the people born a certain way should not be, or in a perfect world, would not be Jewish folks. Now, what do I mean by Jewish religion? Well, not really the religion, no. I mean more the Mediterranean Semitic people that we know as Jewish people. It's just, you know, it's a cheap shot, it's dirty pool, and it also shows a sort of stupid mindset. I mean, there's nothing more ignorant than a racist. I mean, that's just about as dumb as you can get. I know they try to affect intelligence, but they're dumb. One of the reasons why you know they're dumb is they're unrelentingly unfunny people. Have you ever been on a racist website and read what passes for humor? It's like really not any good, man. Ain't funny at all. It's hateful. And angry and funny, they don't go together at all. Not, most of the time they don't. Because you have to be self-effacing. You have to have an ability to put yourself down, too, if you're going to be angry and you're going to be hateful. And you have to kind of make fun of yourself. They can't do that. Now, what's the difference between that and making fun of a guy because he's a raghead? The ragheads. What is a raghead? A raghead to me is an individual who affects the wearing of a cloth on the top of his head. Now it could be a dinner cloth, it could be a tablecloth. He might wear a sheet, he might wear a dish towel. I don't know. Like Yasser Arafat wears a dish towel, but those guys in Saudi Arabia, they wear the full-on bed sheet. Some of those guys, like in Afghanistan, they wrap what looks like a bath towel on their heads. Whereas in some parts of Iraq, they go more for the 360-count fitted sheet look. I don't know what, you know, but that's what they do. Were they born with a rag on their head? No. They decided to put a rag on their head. And they decide to run around in camels, you know, with camels, or maybe they're driving Mercedes, whatever. It's funny to me the way they live. But I have no real occasion to talk about them simply because I don't like them. I have occasion to talk about them because I find them to be hateful people, violently hateful people, who have called my country the great Satan. They've called us as Westerners decadent. They say that we deserve to die. They say that all Americans and Jews deserve to die. See, that kind of commentary, ladies and gentlemen, should not go unaddressed. But as Americans, we're just oh so scared to do it. Because we might be racist. It's not racist. You're attacking a man for his chosen belief and for his chosen mode of dress. And even to critique his religion. Yeah, that's legitimate. He chose that religion. Well, guess what? I don't really, you know, agree with your religion, man. Well, that's blasphemous and you're being bigoted. Why am I supposed to? What are you talking about? Well, at least have respect for man's religion. Why? Maybe it's a bad religion. Maybe it sucks. Well, you know, the Muslim faith has been around almost 2,000 years. Okay, you know, that's cool. It's been around almost 2,000 years. And I'm sure a lot of it's really good. I'm hearing a lot of stuff that sounds pretty nasty. So I'm going to comment on it. And if you don't dig it, then you just really don't understand what we call free speech, which is rapidly going away from us, by the way, not because of anything the government's doing, which is the big misgiving that we have. The government is really repressing speech. No, the government's not doing anything. Private citizens are repressing speech. Religious groups are repressing speech. Mothers' groups are repressing speech. School districts are repressing speech. Where you work, they repress speech. The guy that sits in the cubicle next to you is repressing your speech. Your next-door neighbor is got a problem with you and repressing your speech. Your boss, your employees. That's not the government. Half the lawsuits that are, 99.999% of the lawsuits that are filed in this country taking someone to task because of something they said are filed by private citizens, not by the United States government. I got a guy that, like I told you last night, he's going to sue me because I say raghead. Raghead, 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 right? This cat's going to sue me. That's not Uncle Sam calling me, man. That's just some humorless jackball in San Francisco with a whole lot of nothing to do on a Friday night. Right? I I had a friend of mine who was on the air in San Francisco. She said she wouldn't give the Iranian people the sweat off her back after those earthquakes for the things that they have said about our country, the threats they've made against our country. Guess what she got? She got fired from her gig. She said something entirely sensible as far as I'm concerned. After the Iranian earthquake and everybody was getting this Iranian earthquake relief going on, she said, hey, you know what? I don't want to give those people any money. Last time I saw them, they were marching our people around an embassy with blindfolds on. They're a bunch of murderers, and they're liars, and they're repressive dictators, and they're scumbags. You know what? And I ain't giving them their money. I ain't giving no money for their earthquake relief. So, you know, take that and pound sand with it, Jim. She gets canned? That's fascism at its best. That's racism at its best. Well, not racism, but that's bigotry, right? Because of somebody's belief system, they're going to get fired from a job where they're told they're supposed to express these things on the radio because, hey, man, that's what talk radio is all about. Talk radio is a freaking joke. Why do you think we call our CD The Death of Talk Radio? You know, there's no freedom of speech. All you have are a lot of people just sort of mouthing things they think the host wants to hear, and the host is mouthing whatever he thinks is popular. Hey, it's hip to be a conservative host these days. Everybody's conservative. You notice I'm a Democrat. People say, what's that about? Because I'm a freaking Democrat. That's what it's about. Well, you don't sound like one. You sound like a Republican. Well, no, I don't. No, I don't at all. I happen to be supporting President Bush right now because I don't see anything better, quite frankly, on the horizon. I ain't voting for Nader. What, I might vote for Nader? I might as well vote for some guy that's mumbling to himself in a coffee shop somewhere. That's Nader to me. Some guy is sitting there getting steamed over the morning paper with his shirt off and the same tie and shirt that he's been wearing. Did I say shirt off? With his coat off and the same looking tie and shirt that he's worn for 15 years. All these preconceived notions. Man, before I die, maybe, just maybe, Phil Hendry will have had something to do with chipping away at a lot of them. I doubt it, but I can't get on the radio and be anything other than who I am, and that's who it is, and that's what I am, and that's where I'm at. Okay? Thank you. All right, now coming up here, did I explain that very well? I don't know if I did or not, but that's what I wanted to say, because it's tiring. It's really boring and tiring listening to people say, you're really racist because you call them ragheads and Muslim. Hey, dude, you know what? They're ragheads, okay? They want to wear a rag on their head? Fine. And I wouldn't say nothing about it. Were they not the most hateful, vile people that the world has to deal with right now? And if they aren't the ones that are planting the bombs, they're enabling it, like the Saudi Arabian royal family. They talk about how they want to help the West. And that ad they took out on the anniversary of 9/11 was the most obscene, disgusting thing we feel for the American people. All they do is enable Al-Qaeda. Right now they want to cut a deal with them. And one more thing before we get into, what am I going to do? Oh yeah, I got to do a mailbag at the bottom of the hour and all kinds of crap. This attack in Fallujah, folks, was an Al-Qaeda operation. The bodies were dragged through the streets for a reason. The last time the bodies of Americans were dragged through streets, what happened? We pulled our troops out of that area. We pulled our men out of Somalia. Al-Qaeda is like a lot of these organizations. They really don't kind of get American culture. So they sort of think, well, if it happened in Somalia, maybe it'll happen in Iraq. We got a far heavier commitment in Iraq that I guess they don't get. But they really believe the public relations hit that the Bush administration would take by seeing Americans dragged through streets would be as devastating as the one the Clinton administration took. And so therefore, we would pull our troops out of Iraq. Now, that was calculated, and it was inspired and basically commissioned by Al-Qaeda. For all of you out there who don't think there's a connection between our presence in Iraq and Al-Qaeda. And one more thing. Fallujah is a place that's basically policed by the Iraqi police themselves. The United States military is on the perimeter. We've never really gone into that town and kicked some serious rear end. I think it's time we do. Now, I ain't saying line them up and shoot them like the Nazis used to do. But I'm saying, one good, heavy presence of Americans in that town. I guarantee it ain't going to be dragging anybody's body through the streets. Because the Iraqi police and basically the Iraqi people are showing more and more that they have absolutely no ability to take over the governing of their own country. And what did they say? 60 days or something? 6 months? It's never going to happen. It's not going to happen at this rate. Not with that. No, they're not going to take over running their own country. It's going to be administered by Americans until such time as people over there start acting like human beings. And that's just the way it's going to be. That's what my mommy said. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I got a mailbag coming up in a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Brandon.
Yes.
Is that you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, nice to talk to you, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, you know, I was hearing you talk about, you know, racism and the difference between race and religion, this and that. A couple of quick comments. First of all, I think the whole idea of racism is a little muddled. Because, you know, if I have a friend that is African-American and he wears a shirt that says Black Power, he's proud of his ethnicity, his cultural background.
Yeah, he's a dope, too.
Well, if I wear one that says White Power, I'm racist.
No, you're not racist. You're dope. Let me clarify. You're both idiots,
yes,
because you can't be proud of your race. You didn't do anything to be white.
Exactly.
How can you be proud of being black? But black pride came out of hundreds of years of history where black people were subjugated, and so they wanted to feel proud. They wanted to feel as if they meant something. So black pride came out of that. Black pride is a pride in being black, as opposed to somebody saying you're nothing but a worthless coon, okay?
And now
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Where does exactly white pride come from?
No, but see, that's...
I'm asking you, where does white pride come from, you know?
No idea.
I think it comes as I believe white pride is a racist reaction to black pride. That's my personal opinion.
That's why I say, I think you're absolutely right. There is no reason for you to wear a shirt saying you're proud of your race
that,
you know, you did nothing, you didn't choose that.
Yes, you're right.
You know?
Yeah, you're right.
But still, someone who wore a white pride T-shirt would be considered racist, whereas
not necessarily. Someone, I mean, I'd have to get to know the guy to find out what it's about. I'd like to know what do you mean by white pride? 9 times out of 10, when you talk to a cat that's wearing a white pride shirt, he's got a problem with blacks.
Yes,
you know,
probably.
And you talk to some guys wearing a black pride shirt, he may not necessarily have a problem with white people. He just wants to feel better about a generation or two or three or five of black people who felt like you know, they've been kicked around. And the historical fact is they had been kicked around. Today, white pride, black pride, you can cram both of them. I could care less because they're used as excuses to be dumb. I've seen some guy walking around. And half of these black kids with the Malcolm X, you know, back when the movie came out and when Malcolm X was so hip, they wouldn't know Malcolm X from Smokey Robinson. They wouldn't know Malcolm X from Chuck D. By the way, Chuck D's on that liberal radio network. Is he any good? What is it with you, Chuck? I thought you didn't like Jews, man. Now you're like a liberal? What is that guy about? How come you're a liberal, man? I thought you didn't dig Jews. Oh, you're just a dumb white man. You don't listen to the lyrics of my music. Oh, yeah, okay, right. Well, I'll go buy another 10 albums, man. Put a few more bucks in your pocket, and I'll try to get where you're coming from, okay? I hope you're good on the radio. Your Public Enemy was great. Other than that, I don't know what you've been doing lately. So I will say this. As a musician or as an artist working in the musical field, you are second to none. You're brilliant. You're a brilliant man. And your band was fantastic, or your group, or whatever the hell you cats call it. As far as being on the radio, I'm going to reserve my judgment till I hear you. But something tells me you probably don't sound too good. How many guests you pulling in there every day? Because I'll bet you need a lot. I'll bet you one thing those people need are guests, guests, guests. We must have guests. Now look at me, Janice. I talk so much I don't have time for the mailbag. Can we do a flashback? We can't do anything. I'm going to just have to keep talking. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here's the latest, baby. The horror committed in Fallujah on the last day of March will not be forgotten. The Iraqi lynch mob that savaged and mutilated 4 members of the Blackwater Security Consultant Company staff will surely be punished, so said Paul Bremer. The Fallujah officials and locals said yesterday's attack is a proof of how much we hate Americans. We wish they would try to enter Fallujah. Now that is key because we've never been in there. and we let hell break loose. One thing about Arabs, man, one thing about these ragheads, when they start threatening that they're going to, you know, unleash hell on you, generally it's the other way around. It never fails. So what I think our guys should do is go into Fallujah and kick some rear end. And maybe that means dragging a few guys behind a car. I don't know. I'm kidding. All right. 1-800-449-8686. All right, I promise, coming up our mailbag, we got a little bit here in the mail. We have a lot of letters in the mailbag. It'll be very interesting. Our mailbag, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com. That's where we sell our best of CD. All the money goes to my friend's place. But we also have an archive of a radio comedy that is unmatched in any universe that you've visited. We've got more great radio bits on our website than any 10 radio shows. That is a guaranteed promise. It's only $6.95 a month, all right? We ain't giving it away, but $6.95 a month is close. You need a backstage pass to access the material from our show going back 10, some in some instances 10 years, different generations of the Phil Hendry Radio Show. It's www.philhendryshow.com. Please take advantage of the backstage pass. You get involved and get in on the real aspect of our radio show, the radio show. We'll be right back with our mailbag.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
It's now time for the Phil Hendry Show mailbag. Letters sent to us at phs@philhendryshow.com, some of which we can actually read on the air. Here's one. Hey, Phil, now that Warren Sapp is on the West Coast, is there any chance he'll debate you on how stupid he is? Ron in Laguna Beach. I doubt it, Ron. I have not been able to get in touch with Mr. Sapp. We've emailed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but no one there can read. Dear Phil, I work nights in a hospital office and have been listening for about 2 months. Co-workers often come over to my cubicle to see why I'm laughing so loud. In fact, can you please send some Depends undergarments to protect when I pee my pants? Also, are archives available from years ago when you first started this gig? Thanks for a great show, Angela Barton, Virginia. Yeah, the archives are on our website. Just go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, and you can access our archives. Dear Phil, now without in any way justifying the rather disgusting mayhem practiced upon those dead Americans by some of the people of Fallujah, your suggestion that our soldiers and bombardiers are somehow strangers to mayhem is wishful thinking. And to suggest, as you did, that the sort of wipe them out all viciousness the Nazis practice on some Czech village in the example that you used is just way out of our league, rather conveniently ignores the kind of wipe them all out massacres that were practiced on occasion by American soldiers in, for instance, places like My Lai, Vietnam, not to mention the pointless firebombing obliteration of the entire city of Dresden, Germany, every man, woman, and child during World War II, a city without any legitimate military significance. The best, Marty. Hey, Marty, man, I know all the stuff you're saying, okay? I understand that. I was using the Nazis as an example of the kind of mentality that were we Nazis, we would go in and wipe out those people. Let me explain to you and to all the other people who use the tired associations with the past what the difference between the past and the future, or the past and the present, is. That was the past. This is the future. When you were wetting your pants and having your diapers changed, that was the past. Now that you're sending emails to radio stations, that's the present. See? America, when it firebombed Dresden, was doing it at a time when bombing civilian targets was internationally accepted by all nations. It was probably something that you wouldn't do, but I can guarantee you this much, Marty, were you living in those times, you would have been right along with those guys bombing civilians. That's what was done in those days. 10 years pass, 20 years pass, people begin to think maybe it wasn't such a good idea. Maybe that's the case. But at that time, it was considered legitimate. Especially since the Japanese had done that to us, the Germans had done that to the British, and so on and so forth. My Lai, you bring up. The My Lai massacre was something that occurred illegally. How do I know? Because the men that did it were arrested. Do you get the difference? Arrested. They were arrested and prosecuted. Do you understand, Marty? Or do we still have to keep trotting out My Lai as an example of how we're like Nazis? The Nazis gave medals to the men that killed children. American military prosecutes them and puts them in jail if possible. Do you understand? In Germany, it was accorded a hero status. In America, you're a piece of crap that goes to prison. That's the difference between our two governments. Now, what else do you mention? Well, you just sort of generalize that America practiced the same techniques that the Nazis did. This is the kind of tired argument that I was familiar with, oh my God, since the 1960s, since Vietnam. And one of the problems that I have with the anti-Iraq movement and the anti-Iraq war movement is they still trot out their Vietnam-era cliches. You guys need a whole new act, man. And let me suggest by starting with firing cats like Martin Sheen. That old man is stuck strictly in the 60s. The United States of America back in the 60s, you know, all kinds of comparisons to Nazi Germany were made. It was like so, you know, like ho-hum, man. And to start bringing them out now, a new generation of Americans and a new generation of American government that is far more open with its people, even though you got a lot of paranoid old people that'll tell you, well, back in the 60s, the CIA did this and did that. You guys are hanging around too many Noam Chomsky pamphlets and probably listening to too many old liberal creeps. I'm like a young liberal creep. No, America is nothing like Nazi Germany. Why? Because it's illegal to behave that way in our country, and America can in no way, shape, or form be compared to any country that wholesale murders civilians. We do not do it with official sanction. We do not do it with the sanction of our citizens. When it happens, and it is illegal, it is prosecuted. When it happens in a time and in a place where everybody was doing it, then that's just the culture of the time. The American pilots that dropped those bombs, let's talk about them, man. A lot of them were our grandfathers. And you talk to them, and every guy to the man will say, I have no regrets bombing civilians in Germany. Those people put Hitler in power. As far as I was concerned, they sealed their own fate. Now, that is a direct quote from an American pilot who flew bombing missions over Germany, all right? You want to take, you know, exception to what happened in World War II? Let's get right down to it, man. Forget about FDR. Let's talk about the cats that flew the planes. Our fathers, our grandfathers, those are the guys, they had no problem with it. America had no problem with it. The world had no problem with it. 20 years later, it's real easy to say, now that we're high-minded and moral, and we figured out how to not keep black people in the back of the bus, all of a sudden we want to start paying our dues for every sin that we ever committed. It's a stupid way to live. It's an idiotic way to look at history. It is also a way that to look at history that is completely uneducated. Completely uneducated. To say that the Jews killed Christ, for instance, where I'm seeing these polls now, most people think the Jews killed Christ. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I'll keep saying it until it gets through to some people. If Jesus were walking around today, the Christian people themselves would nail him to a cross. That's how they would. That's how much they wouldn't recognize him. If Jesus were walking the streets of America today, he'd be crucified all over again. Okay? So, you want to blame Jews? Let's start talking about us and how far we've come. Or, if we wouldn't crucify Jesus today, there's some other things we wouldn't do today. Maybe bomb Dresden is one of the things we wouldn't do. But back then, we did. And when I say we did, I mean we freaking did. The only people that didn't crucify Jesus, as far as I know, were the Irish. Because we're just cool. Am I taking too much time with this? Well, I just wanted to, We'll be back to Masterpiece Theater in one moment. I'm Archibald MacLeish, and I'm dead. Great show, Phil. Please do a follow-up with the Palestinian making a plea to the U.S. to send more rocks to throw at the Israelis. Thanks, Dave. Dear Phil, a few weeks ago, I unexpectedly lost my very best friend, my dad. A day or so after he passed, I was driving home from his house and was about ready to break down.
I was listening to your show, and all of a sudden you did an Art Bell parody. I know Art and my dad loved his program. I went from one of the most depressed states I've ever been in to laughing hysterically. My hat's off to you, man. You gave me some peace in a very difficult time. Thank you very much, Phil. Just thought I'd let you know. Robert Phillips, Las Vegas. Phil, here's a story that might interest you about a Hollywood actor that is a little different than most. Actor Gary Sinise has started an organization that raises money to send school supplies and other needed items to Iraq school children. Here's his website, www.OperationIraqiChildren.org. David Ingram, Dunedin, Florida. Seriously, have you been on that site? You know what, man? I mean, that's what I'm talking about, okay? How about a few less cocktail parties and a few more things like that? That's sweet. I cannot recall the name of the tequila Phil mentioned you all enjoyed while at the recent HBO comedy event. Would you please share this with me? I did not see it in the links tequila section. Thanks, Neil. It's called Tesoro Paradiso, Neil. Paradiso. Tesoro is the brand name. T-E-S-O-R-O. And Paradiso is the model, if you will. And it is a very aged, delicious añejo tequila. Huh? Oh, hold on for a minute. I have to get the tequila music going. Neil, it's called Tesoro Paradiso. Now, years ago, as I traveled the bumpy back roads of Mexico with my lovely wife, Maria, we stumbled upon a little Mexican man who stood in the road and said, Señor, you wish to come to this, and all that crap. So we went in, I took a shot of this stuff, and 6 hours later, I was arrested by the federales. That's how good it is, baby. It's called Tesoro Paradiso, available, I don't know where, man. I mean, I bought a bottle in a liquor store in Oxnard for $110, and I ain't seen it since. Back to our mailbag. Hey, Phil, my buddy was Catholic. At least his parents tried to make him Catholic. However, he would often skip church and come to my house to goof off instead, until he got caught and was grounded an entire summer. Anyway, we would go to the church and lie to the father, telling him we needed to use the copier for schoolwork, but instead using it to copy Dungeons & Dragons character sheets and books. One day, he tells us we can come into the kitchen and get a snack. He talks to us about school, asking us questions about this and that. The one thing I remember about that day was when he opened the refrigerator door, all that was in the fridge was a case of beer and a head of lettuce. I got to laughing when you said the Catholic Church needed money to buy more Johnny Walker Black. Once again, you're true to life. Thanks, Phil. Later, Josh Tully. That's our mailbag for today. If you'd like to send us something, you send it to email. You send it to this email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, yesterday on our show, we had a very interesting guy named Herb Sewell, who owns a talent agency. But he also worked for the Department of Labor, tracking sexual harassment in the workplace. And it was his belief that while men sexually harass, it is impossible for women to sexually harass. Impossible. Now, how did he come to that conclusion? Herb said to us that he himself is so handsome, literally so handsome and so charming, women can't resist him, and yet he was never sexually harassed in the workplace, ever. Even though he would try to bait women, he would sit around in his office with his shirt open so wide you could see both nipples and all of his chest hair, and he'd dabble water on his chest and just look like some kind of a GQ model. They still wouldn't sexually harass him.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I just wanted to let him know, you know, he says he's got all this hair on his chest and that and the other. I think chest hair is ugly. I think
I don't know what you... I have any idea what you look like, but I can assure you that most women find it very attractive.
Well, you know, not every woman has the same opinion. There's a lot of women in this world that do not like chest hair.
I'm talking about quality women.
And I'm a quality person, excuse me.
Ma'am, with all due respect, you sound as if you're missing some teeth. Literally.
We don't need to say that.
Well, I'm detecting that in the lady speaking, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm very sorry. But
I've had a cold, excuse me, but I am a very articulated person.
You're articulated?
I'm a very articulated person. I have very many fine qualities about me.
Well, the proper use of the word is articulate, not articulate.
I didn't ask you to be my professor.
Well, I have to because you use the word improperly. And I can assure you.
And another thing, you're ha-ha and ho-ho, and you sound like Beavis and Butthead on the HBO show.
Well, I think that speaks to your kind of culture. Beavis and Butthead? I can tell you
no,
that.
No, I do not watch them.
I can tell you that
children do.
The women that I associate myself with do not have
I do not watch them.
Those
kinds my teenage
of,
children do.
Well, be that as it may, dear. I'm not making Beavis and Beavis
and
Butthead comparisons.
And another thing, if I had seen a person take off their clothes or shirt and exercise like that in the office place, I would wonder where he cracked his head at.
You would have what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. You would have what?
I would wonder where you cracked your head at. There's places to exercise, and in an office is not doing it.
Well, can I ask you, are you familiar with the modern professional workplace, or are you just familiar to going in the back and getting another case of Charmin out there? Because I don't know.
I do billing in a trucking company.
I'm sorry? You do what?
I do billing in a trucking company. I see people all day long.
She does billing in a trucking company?
She's billing. She's accounting.
I see. Yeah. Well, a trucking company is quite different from a talent agency in Hollywood, California. But I would say this.
And another thing.
Yes?
When you want to exercise, you go to a place to exercise. And the only reason a lot of me and my friends do not sexually harass men, because we have more respect for our person than to lower ourselves to their standards.
Well, I can tell you, Melody, that I respect that. And if I were you, I would see to getting your back molars replaced, because...
Why?
I got a whole mouthful, excuse me?
Well, you've got some... You got a whole mouthful of what? I don't...
Teeth.
All right, I just...
What do you say?
You just don't like criticism, and I'm sorry about
your life. No, I don't mind the criticism, but you have to understand that...
No, you do not like criticism. You don't think that you should be criticized because you think you're that and all that and a piece of cake, too. I don't think so.
Well, Melody, you've never met me, and I can assure you, had you met me, you would be very interested in going to bed with me.
Nah, I don't think so.
Well, how do you know that?
Really, in fact, I know not.
Well, I don't understand. But the point is, it's not whether you would. Well, the point is, it's not whether you'd go to bed with me. It's the big question is, would I with you? And as long as you didn't talk.
To my standards.
Herb, you know, you're talking about not sexually harassing people, and you're being very personal with this lady.
No, she's claiming that she doesn't like this, she doesn't like that. Well, I'd have to say to her, well, what makes you the big prize? I mean, I'm listening to her saying things, and I suppose it's fine that she bulls or whatever she does, but. I'm talking about young ladies, you know, who have a taste and style and, you know, the Paris Hilton style. Have you seen Paris Hilton on TV, Melody?
No, I don't like the show. I do billing, you know, computer, data entry.
All right.
Billing.
Melody, thank you for calling. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know what you mean about the teeth.
You're kidding, right?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Phil Henry Show, and that was a flashback. We got a call. Maybe time for one more call. Let's go to Vernon. Hi, Vernon. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Phil. How are you?
Good.
I don't have all that. If your screener told you what I wanted to talk about, but...
Well, it says here American Idol.
Yeah.
Are you a cop or something? I'm hearing a radio.
Oh, no, sir. I got television on in the background. I'm watching Cops.
All right. Well, maybe turn it down a little bit?
Sure. Phil, I saw something tonight, and I'm frightened because if I see it one more time, I've seen it a lot, and if I see it one more time, I'm afraid I'm going to have one of two reactions. I may have trouble breathing, or I might attack. I might commit a violent act. And I'm
What did you see?
I'm watching television, and I saw the Chinaman again. Yeah, I did.
You saw the Chinaman again?
Yeah.
What's that?
You ain't seen the Chinaman. The one on American Idol?
The Chinaman on American Idol? Oh, the guy, what's his name, Janice?
It's William Hung.
William Hung?
Hey, you know, I don't care. Now you've told me more than I want to know. So thanks for that. Thank you. But every time the TV's on, and he goes, you know, she bopped, she boo-boo, you know, he looks like a retard. Oh, man. I'm going to hurt somebody.
You know what, man? I totally agree. They're really overplaying that poor, you know, Chinese-American student. our Chinese student.
Well, you know, I don't care what he's doing here. I just get him off of my TV, please, or I will hurt. I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to take a pair of scissors and snip something off if I have to see the Chinaman. No more Chinaman. No Chinaman, no Chinaman, no Chinaman.
All right, so well, I don't have any contact with Fox, so I don't know. But William Hung, the guy on American Idol, yeah, they're really overdoing it with that guy. Enough. Hey, kid, they're making fun of you. Phil Henry Show.